Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Well, today, we're going to entitle our message, Eternal Economy. Eternal Economy. And you think maybe I'm going to talk about the fact that there's some, when we're first recording this, there's some not so good economic forecasts, and some of us are right in the middle of it, and there's all kinds of crises in the world as far as the economy. So I'm going to talk about, well, God's economy is eternal and all that, and just have faith and you'll get money or something like that. And I'm not doing that. I'm going to talk today about the Trinity. Yes, the Trinity. I'm not going to answer all your questions today, and of course I can't even hear them. Of course, if you want to also email me, you can email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. Our foundation text for today is 1 Peter 1:2. It says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There we see God the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus Christ. So this particular verse speaks of God and His eternal plan and workings to obtain salvation for His chosen one. There's lots of verses that we're going to go over today. We don't have time to read them all, but I'll name them. And what you can do is you can write them down or go on to voiceofvision.org and look and see the text for that. If you missed the day, the original day this was aired, then it won't be on the front page, but you can go into the daily blog there, and you can find this teaching, Eternal Economy. It should be very, very helpful for you. And as a matter of fact, there are categories there, like Trinity. You can hit on that and find all the posts and all the audio for these type of teachings. And we try to make them concise and precise. In other words, small enough and accurate enough that the average person can get a hold of that. And of course, we cannot comprehend all that the Trinity is, but we can apprehend it because we see it in Scripture and we see what is an economic aspect of the Trinity, what God does, as opposed to the ontological aspect of the Trinity, what God is. Yes, I know those are big words, but let's explore that a little bit. Again, in 1 Peter 1:2, we see God's working His eternal plan to obtain salvation for His chosen ones, the elect. This passage also echoes what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, that the Spirit is moving us on to sanctification, and that progress will be made as we grow in grace. Now notice here in 1 Peter 1:2 that election here describes foreknowledge, not simply as a decree of God to heaven, but also that it deals with life on earth as well. We see in verse 5 of Peter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Upon our justification, we also received definitive sanctification. We were set apart for God's purpose in a real way, sanctified perfectly right then. Yet we still go through the process of progressive sanctification. You know, our condition is that we're sanctified, we're set apart, we're in Christ Jesus, but our condition is often that we're still, even though we're transferred, we're being transformed, as a prior teaching we did here on Voice of Vision discussed. Again, we know that sanctification and obedience are hallmarks of election. 2 Peter 1:1-11 tells us that we have to make our calling and election sure, and that's not to God, that is to us, to the people that we meet, to the people that we're witnessing to. How about to the powers of darkness? Do they know? Speaking of transformation, a continued life of obedience and a transforming character are marks of the Spirit's work. So we know that Jesus has become our sanctification, 1 Corinthians 1:30. And so we're already holy as God sees us, positional as we are in the Son. But we can and should become more Christ-like here on earth as well. This verse and others state that the condition of a person's life will come more and more in line with their position in Christ. The question is, are you becoming more obedient Christian as a Christian? If not, perhaps you need to you know, examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says we need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, except we be reprobates. 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8, let me read those to you. It says, for God has not called us. And again, we're looking at the call and foreknowledge of the Father as relates to the Trinity, but we're looking a little at sanctification here as well, because that's God's eternal economy. What God starts, He finishes. Amen. It says, for God has not called us, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, to impurity, but to holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. That's what it says here in verse 2, through sanctification of the Spirit, those that God has elected, that has called, they will be sanctified, set apart, but also progressively becoming like that. And people that ignore that are not who they think they are. Of course, we're not going to be perfected in this life. So Peter mentions that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, which you could look at 1 John 1:7-10 there. If we say we have no sin, we make ourselves a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful. That means He's going to do it. And just, that means He must do it because of Christ, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so what we're talking about, the way Peter is describing it, he's describing the work of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And it shows us the Trinity in salvation. Justification, declared righteous. Sanctification, growing in grace. And glorification, our final eternal state. So again, Peter is showing us the Trinity and salvation, or the economic aspect of the Trinity, which is what we said before, is what God does, as opposed to the ontological aspect of the Trinity, which is what God is. All right? We see that the covenant of grace was planned by the Father. Here comes your pen. Get that ready. Ephesians 1:4-5. Romans 8:28-29-33. 2 Timothy 1:9. So the covenant grace was planned by the Father, executed by the Son, Ephesians 1:7, Romans 8:3-4, and 34, John 6:37, and applied by the Spirit. That's Ephesians 1:13, Romans 8:2-15. Also Galatians 4:4-6 gives us a look at the economic Trinity in concise terms. Let me turn there very quickly and let's look at that. Most of you know these verses, but think about it now in terms of the Trinity. Romans 4:4-6 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We see the Trinity in economic aspect there. And although, you know, the Trinity as a doctrine, you know, God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, and they do different things, they have different roles, although they're of one essence. And sometimes we think it's not really discussed as explicitly as we might like within the New Testament. Well, it's certainly woven into the fabric throughout the whole Bible. Now, I'm going to give you a sampling of 20 texts here that you can write down. And again, go on to voiceofvision.org and you'll see it listed right there. I'm not going to go into all of them, but just to give you an example, people say, well, I don't see the Trinity anywhere. Well, it's everywhere. Isaiah 48:16, Isaiah 61:1, Isaiah 63:9-10, Zechariah 2:1-10, Matthew 28:19, right? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Mark 1:10-11. John 14:16-26, John 15:26, John 16:7-15, Romans 8:1-11, 1 Corinthians 12:3-6. Again, you see Father, Son, and Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Right? Let's read that one real quick. Again, just, you know, all these texts, they show the Trinity. We see that there's three different persons. Of course, they're all called God in the Bible. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, we read Galatians 4:4-6, Ephesians 1:3-14, Ephesians 2:18, Ephesians 4:4-6, 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14, Titus 3:4-6, 1 Peter 1:2, as we saw here, and Jude 20 and 21. So we see that there's a lot of verses and passages that we could point to that point to the Trinity. God in three persons, God in action, doing things. Let's turn to that one passage I mentioned a moment ago, Titus chapter 3. So this is the pastoral epistles here, and Paul is talking to Titus, and in chapter 3, he says in verse 4, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but by according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." You see Father, the God, the Son, and the Spirit there. But you know what? The truth about the Trinity is not that we're even restricted to all in one text, like some of these that we mentioned a minute ago, is that, you know, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not restricted to those, because other texts show evidence of the Trinity by showing the deity of Jesus and the distinct personhood of the Holy Spirit. So when we think of that, we already see something different than, you know, monotheism. That's not tritheism in that sense. It's not a trinity, I should say, better. Truth is that there's massive evidence, including verses where Jesus is called God, or in the Greek theos. Let me look at some of those. How about John 20? John 20, verse 28. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Acts 20:28. Look at Acts 20:28. Let's go through a few here, because when Jesus is called God, of course, you know, in Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit is called God. All right, so we see some difference there. There's a lot of evidence that's there. You see things in Acts chapter 7. We see lots of differentiation here. All right, Acts 20, verse 28. And here we are. It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood." So we see some interplay there. Romans 9:5, Titus 2:13, Hebrews 1:8. That's a great one. Let's look at that before we end here. So many verses. We couldn't cover them all today and read them, but they are many, 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 many. Hebrews 1:8, "But of the Son," he says, this is God, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever." You know, Jesus is called God. 2 Peter 2:1, 1 John 5:20. So many verses. The Trinity is the truth. And the truth is that the triune God has a perfect plan for your life. Again, we see it in 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect, according to the foreloving, this means the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the Trinity is the truth. The truth is that the triune God has a perfect plan for your life. The question is, how well are you following God's economic forecast? Lots more we can get to, but that's all the time we have for today. We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.